This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You are on Saturday Magazine, Joy 94.9. Your hosts until midday are Senator Dean Smith and Josh Byrne.
Thank you, Macca. And before we launch into this next segment, it is just worth mentioning that anything that we discuss, if it does cause any distress and you want to talk to someone, you can call Q Life on 1800 184 527. Or if you're in Victoria, you can call the Rainbow Door on 1800 729 367. Our next guest was interviewing me last time I was here in the studio. So it's nice to have the shoe on the other foot, as they say. And please welcome Joe Ball, the CEO of Switchboard Victoria. Now, Joe has obviously got a huge workload, and Switchboard, based here in the Pride Centre, does incredible work, literally life-saving work for many people in the LGBTIQ community. But one of the things that Joe's been up to has been to do with the Royal Commission into Veteran Suicide, something that both Dean and I feel very passionately about, and we're really pleased to have you in the studio, Joe. You were you gave evidence to the Royal Commission. What were some of the things that you said when you were making your submission?
Yeah, thanks, Josh. And I think it's worth saying people might wonder why we gave evidence. And I think I just want to contextualise that Switchboard as a service has always been open to LGBTIQ plus veterans. And according to our call logs back to 1991, we have been receiving those calls from people who are current service people and former and veterans. Mm. So we have an important role to play to represent those people who do call us and who largely served in silence, and to talk about some of the experiences that they had. So just to back up a little bit, I was part of an expert panel on the Royal Commission. It was certainly an honour and privilege to be able to try as much as we could as a panel to raise the issue of LGBTIQA plus veterans. And I was joined by Anna Bernasocchi, who is our suicide prevention manager at Switchboard, and Adam Bourne, who's the director of the Australian Research Centre in Sex, Health and Society at La Trobe University, and Professor Noah Reisman, who is a leading expert in this area, and he's the author of Serving in Silence and Pride in Defence. So he's actually made significant academic contributions to interviewing veterans and telling their story. So we made up quite a strong panel. Obviously at Switchboard we were representing a service, like the service response to suicide and veterans. I mean, some of the issues that we gave is that we talked about the need for any workplace, including the armed forces, to be a safe workplace. And we talked about the consequences when workplaces are not safe, when there's discrimination and stigma in the workplace and oppression, and how if you can't be out and be yourself in the workplace, and if you're being actively discriminated against, this can play a role in driving poor mental health and suicide for people in those circumstances. Importantly, we raised the issue that until 1992, you could be dishonourably discharged in this country for being an LGBTI serving person and out. So, of course, that is the absolute antithesis of a accepting, inclusive workplace, that at the point that you were outed, and many of the people, as we heard, when they gave evidence to the Royal Commission, they were actually outed. They weren't necessarily serving publicly, but there was witch hunts, and they were rounded up, and they were outed, and then they were dishonourably discharged. Mm. And one of the evidence we gave, of course, for veterans, when you've taken on that very important role of serving your country, the most worst thing that can happen to a veteran is to be dishonourably discharged. Mm. And that's what happened to LGBTI veterans up until 1992. And the consequences for those people, both then and now, is how they live with that. And they had careers disrupted, families disrupted, and tragically, some of them took their own lives. And that was the story we were there to tell.
So, fast-forwarding, you know, there's been a lot of commentary around the interim report. Mm. You know, what is it that you would like to see, you know, in that final report when it comes to sort of, you know, correcting some of these past wrongs, but also making sure that, you know, those that are serving our Defence Force now, particularly those that might go off to combat, you know, how can Australian Defence Force better support those people that are currently serving now?
Yeah, Noah Reisman raised this really important issue actually in front of the Royal Commission, so it's now documented, that was up until 2017, the armed forces were tracking quite well and progressively towards inclusion activities. And people might remember it was actually after 2017, there was concerted efforts by the then government to actually wind back some of those inclusive activities. I mean, Peter Dutton himself got involved in the rainbow morning tea and he wanted to ban the rainbow cupcakes. It was a famous sort of thing that came. So there was actually evidence given that there was a lot of progress that happened from 1992, the point of like when people were getting dishonorably discharged and then they were being allowed to out and serve, up until 2017. And so there's been a real disheartening by advocates and people serving themselves that there's a bit of winding back, because there was important progress in both policies and procedures and actually how people were experiencing their time serving. So I think what we want to see in the interim report is to reflect ongoing progress that has been that was interrupted, and we want to return to that time of a more sort of progressive. I'm not trying to say in any way, because I know some people between 1992 and 2017 had bad experiences. So I'm not trying to write that out, but I want to say that, you know, some work had taken place, and we need to just forward progress. We need to continue on. So I want to see in the interim report a recognition of historical discrimination. I want to see that veterans have options to access inclusive services if they're LGBTI veterans. So I want their capacity building around services like Open Arms, which is a veteran helpline. And I want to see that veterans are offered other options. So on their intranet, in their induction packs, they get to hear about services like QLife. And importantly, the most important thing that I want to see out of the final report is a recommendation for a national apology for the treatment of LGBTI veterans
pre 1992, or for the whole experience thus far. Yep.
I think that there needs to be consultation. So I don't want to necessarily put year brackets on. I think there needs to be a specific acknowledgement of dishonourable discharge. Absolutely. But I think we need to have consultation to see what veterans, I don't want to write out that experience between, you know, 1992 to today. But I think that we've seen when there was an apology to Aboriginal serving veterans, the healing that can cause. And I think that I'm not arguing for a redress scheme. I think that's for other people to work out and for veteran communities to work that out and the government to work out. But I think that we can all get on the bandwagon of a national apology.
When we hear about veterans' experiences generally, a matter that gets raised constantly is the, you know, the very, very damaging effect of PTSD. My father served in Vietnam. My uncle and both of my uncles were soldiers. How does the PTSD sort of episode, how does it affect LGBTI people differently from non-LGBTI people?
I think there's a really component of what it means when you can't be yourself. Because there is, as you recognise, there is enough stress in that occupation alone.
Yeah.
And and I welcome the Royal Commission in its entirety. I mean, my role is to advocate for our community within it, but I obviously welcome it because I think the way we treat veterans in this country needs to be reviewed. And we need to look at better services and recognition. But I think for veterans, the stories we told, so one of the first person who gave evidence to the Royal Commission was Yvonne Sillett. And she is a lesbian woman. And her experience was she was leading a battalion and there was a witch hunt that was conducted where they went to gay bars and actually started to photograph and try and catch her out and being a lesbian. She actually wasn't being that person in the workplace. She was doing it outside of the workplace, but there was this horrendous witch hunt. And the PTSD of that experience of being a proud serving member and valuing their contribution to their country, and then having that experience of dishonourable.
And in addition to that, a proud serving member, but someone who was clearly competent and highly skilled at the role that they were being asked to do, because you had a very, very senior position.
That's right. And that's the stories we heard from people across the forces.
Joe, amazing advocacy. And I think we all acknowledge that the voice and the role that you're playing in that is so important. And for me personally this week, it was really important and powerful to see the Defending with Pride exhibition at the Shrine of Remembrance right just down the road in the heart of McNamara. This is the Pride Centre is the heart of McNamara, but just down the road is the one of the key valves in the shrine. But I was walking through, and I was with the curator and also the CEO, and I was speaking with David, who's one of the key stories, and he was there with his husband Michael, and he was talking about his experience. But the thing that struck me, obviously there was some history around some backlash to the Shrine of Remembrance, but the thing that struck me was actually how proud the Shrine of Remembrance was as an institution to be displaying David's story. What's your reflection on how important this exhibition and these sorts of steps forwards are about talking about the experiences of LGBTIQ soldiers, but also defending them with pride?
Mm. The exhibition is the story of 140 people who served. So it's something very significant. Mm. And I encourage all listeners and Victorians to get along to the shrine and see the exhibition. It's not a large one, but it's an extremely powerful one, and take a moment. And I also had the experience when I was there that I went up to, I've just forgotten the name of the central area where you lay your wreaths and recognise the dead. And I went in there and I'd gone just straight after the opening, and there was actually a rainbow wreath raised, and I sat down and I looked at that wreath and felt extremely moved, because of course there's a story there of when LGBTI people have been excluded from the RSL, they've been excluded from Anzac Day, and that to me just seems like such a tragedy that people have this experience of signing up and making this significant contribution to their country. And how are they treated? They're treated but with exclusion and discrimination. Tragically, the RSL, head of the RSL Victoria did choose the moment of the opening of this exhibition to say that he wasn't very keen on it, which was a shame. And we need to see some movement in the RSL. But the most important thing we need to focus on is what you said, Joss, is that the shrine itself has been so supportive. And I think that that is an incredibly healing moment. And when we go back to what I was originally talking about, which is the prevention of suicide, one of the key things we can do to prevent suicide in our communities is to get rid of stigma and to get rid of discrimination. And an act like celebrating people's identities and where they work and the contributions they have made does exactly that. It is a prevention activity of poor mental health and suicide. So I absolutely welcome the shrine. I think they've been incredible. And I just say to people, you know, you go in person if you can and make that trip and see it. But also you can, if you are living in regional Victoria, or for many of our listeners, you're not even in Victoria, I encourage you to look at it online. There's actually a really fantastic online exhibition of it. So, you know, I think that that's one thing we can all do, is make sure that these 140 stories are not silenced again. And one way we can not work for them not to be silenced is to go and hear them. So online or in person. So that's my pitch to everyone who's listening.
Well, Joe Ball, as always, thank you very much for coming in and for being a part of the show, but more importantly for your work and advocacy for the wider community, and for promoting mental health and from promoting a better society. But as I mentioned at the start of this segment, if any of the content that we discussed did cause you any distress, please call QLife on 1800 184527, or in Victoria you can call Rainbow Door on 1800 729 367.
And I was going to say, Joe, you know, thanks again. You know, the veterans... suicide inquiry is really, really important. A lot of information is coming forward. I also want to commend the shrine, and I also want to say to the people who attacked the shrine for wanting to put the rainbow lights on it, you're about as relevant and as authentic as a $3 note. Thank you.
Thanks, Marco.
Not you, you're not.
No, I know.
Not Joe. Not Joe.
I love it how hard-hitting you are. This is such a pleasure. Such a pleasure.
I just want to say, quickly, Joe, have you had any calls yet in Switchboard around monkeypox? I don't know whether you heard Simon Ruth chatting to us earlier. Have you had any calls into Switchboard or QLife?
look, we take hundreds of calls each day, so I wouldn't be able to say yes or no definitively. I think that what I can say, though, is it's contributing to anxiety for people, and it is reminiscent of HIV and AIDS, and as was COVID. So I think that I've seen contacts where people have sent emails in where they're concerned around some of the messaging and they want us to get involved with promoting some of the messaging. And for us at Switchboard, we really look to Thorn Harbour Health and we promote all their messaging. And I think everything that Simon had to say this morning, of course, is right on. He's at the forefront of responding to the crisis. But we can't downplay how these health crises actually do play a detrimental role in how people feel about their identities and insecurity and mental health.
Yeah. And for listeners who want to hear more of Joe, Joe's actually co-hosting next week with me. So looking forward to that. You are on Saturday Magazine Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.